Welcome back to Creative Therapy Umbrella. This is a space where we talk about all different types of creative therapies. Those can include creative arts therapies such as art, dance, music, drama, play. It can include expressive therapy or just creative approaches to therapy. On today's episode, I talk with Nina Garcia, who is a drama therapist, and talking with Nina was like drinking the best cup of coffee. She is so lovely to chat with. She's so energetic, and I could talk with her all day because I just get so much energy from listening to her and experiencing different things with her. It was so lovely. She shares so much in this podcast episode, not only about drama therapy and the importance of identity and dynamics and the roles that we play throughout our lives and the day. She also dives into her playfulness that she brings to drama therapy. She talks about a quote, "Can we play with that?" or "How can we empower you?" and how she uses those in her work in a really playful and engaging way. And she also really talks about her process of becoming a drama therapist and the things that she battled with in that process too, of feeling misplaced and her own experience of identity and cultural identity and roles in her own life and how she went through those experiences. One more thing before we get to the episode. I just released a free guide that is all about boosting creativity. This guide is 8 pages long, and it's been kind of turning in my mind, and I finally got it out on paper, and it's a free download. It's in my newsletter, so there's going to be a sign up right in the show notes. It'll be one of the first ones for the free guide. So I wanted to create that to support other therapists, especially during this time where we're all trying to deal with the transitions that are occurring and our creativity just might not be at maximum. So I wanted to create a support that could be helpful for other people. So take a look, have some fun with it. Of course, always feel free to reach out, but for now, enjoy the episode. Okay, Nina, welcome to the podcast.
Hello, hello. Thank you so much for having me, Kate.
I am so excited about our conversation. We've already talked about off air so many cool things that I can't wait to dive into. But before we dive into all those cool places, can you let our listeners know a little bit about what you currently do in your practice?
Yes. So my name is Nina Garcia. I am the founder of Houston Creative Arts Therapy. I am a registered drama therapist. I am provisionally licensed as a professional counselor here in Texas. I'm a certified clinical trauma practitioner, professional, CCTP, all the letters we have. But in a nutshell, what I'm doing is drama therapy here in Houston. And I am doing it in a very eclectic way. I do some improvisation here and there. I've got clay, I've got sand tray, I've got puppets, I've got instruments, I've got materials for art. I literally have a tub full of stuffed animals and pillows if people just want to lounge and like that's the way that their embodied play is happening, like they're being held by the tub and just enjoying that.
It's so nice. I want one of those now.
But I'm very flexible in my sessions with my clients and with my drama therapy in that I'm really trying to be attuned to what it is that they need in the moment and then jumping at that. So I'm not just offering art interventions as a drama therapist and looking through that lens or just offering drama interventions when I have a client who might be more musically, inclined, so to speak. So while I'm very upfront with them with, I'm not a music therapist, I'm not an art therapist, right? I'm a creative arts therapist, and I'm always looking through the drama therapy lens, right? What are the roles here? What's the story, right? The play, the narrative, so to speak. What roles might we be getting stuck in or that need to have a conversation? And that can show up in so many different mediums, but I'm always looking through that drama therapy lens, like, what can we play with here?
You are tugging on my heartstrings so much. I love how you just explained that as creative arts therapists, how you know, we're specialized in our modality, that we're always looking through that lens. But so many times what our clients need is support with another, you know, modality or, you know, art, play, music, dance, drama, whatever it is, maybe they lean towards that way. And how can we support that through our own lens, but we can still support through that?
Yes, 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 absolutely. Right. I mean, it's like, if we want to see them as a unique individual and they're bringing in something that's already a facet of what makes them lovely and wonderful, like, let's utilize that. Let's empower them to utilize that through this lens. Right. So yes, all about it.
Yes. I love that. So you explained that so well. I literally might turn that into like a quote. I might put that somewhere on my website because that was just so well done. And so much, I feel like, of the crux of what I hope to do with this podcast is getting more creative arts therapists to think about that of, you know, how can we, obviously within our scope of practice, and like you said so wonderfully, you were not, you know, that I'm not claiming to be a drama therapist when I incorporate musical theater, but some clients are great at acting and they want to bring that into the musical part. So how can I, you know, learn more to do that? And I just love how you spoke on that. It was so great.
Thank you.
Yes.
I'm so happy to be able to speak on that. Right. And I know it's like, also it's not for everyone, right? Like some drama therapists are like, no, that's not my thing. But I think you just said it so well, right? Within my scope of practice. Like if that's within your bag, like let's use that tool. Don't put it to the side. We need to utilize that.
Yeah. So for you, is that something that always felt really natural? Like that it was, you're a very creative individual and that's already kind of in your bag, or did you have something kind of happen, or continuing education? What did that journey look like for you?
Oh my goodness, glaciers. Okay. So I come from a musical theater background, right? I was a singer all my life. So I come from really a singing background, a choral singer, if you will. And I really got into musical theater. I did my undergrad musical theater. I was killing it. I was enjoying it. My definition of success really shifted in undergraduate. It was difficult. Yeah, I was ready for it to be difficult. What I wasn't ready for in my professional career in Houston when I was performing with people was the environment was not fulfilling for me anymore. That I was going on and I felt like I was performing, but I didn't feel like I was really asking people to think about things or question the way that they were living. And not in a way that like I wanted them to question everything, but just in a way of like, can we have a critical awareness of who we are and where we are and why we are? And so I stepped away from it slowly and began teaching. I got certified in theater and interpersonal communication, and I was teaching it and I was loving every second. I loved being a teacher. If I could not be a drama therapist anymore, I would go right back to teaching high school theater because I loved it. So it was there that I was working with, I was working with inner school youth, some of who came from wealthy families, some of who did not. And we had everything in between. And some of the most difficult situations and relationships that I had the honor of being privy to and with in these adolescents were kids whose parents were deported and who were here because they were American citizens, right? Kids who were homeless and living in cars. Kids whose parents were in gangs, so they were born into the gang, did not even have an option for what their life would be like, right? And I say all of this without judgment, just understanding that these are difficult experiences that some human beings go through. Yes. And that I was placed in an environment and in a space where I could, if I had the tools and knew how to use it appropriately and effectively, could empower them to make choices that would help them live their best life, regardless of the cards that they were dealt, right? Mm-hmm. So it just really fired me up when I was there to be like, how can I do more with this? How can I use theater in a therapeutic way? Hashtag Google. And it was like, drama therapy, get a master's. And I was like, shut up. Absolutely. Like, let's do it right now. And that's what I did.
Awesome. Oh, that's so powerful. And what an empowering experience. You were, you know, it was like you found that drive of wanting to empower, and then you empowered yourself too, you know, to go. Like,
She loves layers.
Circle. I love that. So can you tell us a little bit more? Now, we've talked a little bit off air about how empowerment has been kind of this continual thread throughout too. How does empowerment continue from that point? How has that continued to grow with your business and what you've done?
Yes. Okay. So wow, there's so much that's in this, that point to this point.
Go into it. Go all the way.
So I originally am from New York, right? So I was born in New York. I've got family in New York. But I consider myself a Houstonian because I spent so many years here growing up. This is my city. Like, I know Houston. I know my network in Houston. I know my favorite places to go in Houston. I know my favorite streets to drive down, the traffic patterns, right? Like, I'm a Houstonian. But I love visiting my family in New York, and I love being in New York. Now, here's a little bit of an energy shift. What I thought was, I love being in graduate school in New York. This will be great. I'll go back to my roots. It's going to be so empowering for me to, again, like this idea of like, I was playing this narrative out in my head of like, this is going to be it.
Yes.
And it's going to be wonderful. And it was the most, if not the second most, one of the most difficult experiences of my life. And I can say, honestly, I've done so much work on thinking about this, right? NYU offered me so many experiences that I wouldn't have anywhere else in the world.
Yeah,
right? We're talking about New York, the Big Apple here.
Mm-hmm.
And an incredible, incredible experience with a cohort. We had 19 people in our cohort. And what an incredible experience. And also, I was incredibly sick most of the time because I felt dislocated from family.
Mm-hmm.
The family that I had in New York was taking care of me and knew me in a different way, right? They knew young Nina. And so me coming in as an adult who had her own life was a struggle. I would have to travel up to 2 hours some days to get to school from where we were living out in Queens.
Mm-hmm.
I moved in the first 6 months I lived there for a variety of reasons. I moved 4 times between Queens, the Lower East Side, the Upper East Side, the Bronx, and I ended up in Teaneck, New Jersey.
Oh my God.
And this is me trying, mind you, right? This is me thinking, how can I empower myself to get closer? How can I empower myself to, right? But the environment being so different in each place and things shifting with whoever I was living with, that it was that next step of, okay, well, how do we move forward still? Like, you're here to do graduate school. You're here to do this thing. Mind you, no less, right, as a first generation graduate student, I'm a first generation college student, right? My parents did not go to college. So this is like, there's this huge narrative, which I hope I'm sort of detailing here. There's this huge narrative that was on my shoulders that, oh man, I wish I'd had a drama therapist to be like, you know, before I entered graduate school, let's play with that a little and see.
Yes, so much.
Yes. Because while I was sitting with so much goodness, and I love being a drama therapist, I love every day that I come to work. I love what I do every day. I love what I do. Mm-hmm. And there's a big smile on my face. I know the listeners can't see
you
it.
You can hear it though. You can always hear a smile. I love that.
but I was, it was the first time I had a serious depressive episode. I was laying in bed one day and I felt like there was something in the room with me that just cast a blanket over me and said, it's okay if you don't get up today.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't like it's okay nurturing if you don't get up, like self-care. It was a dark, it's okay if you don't get up today.
Mm-hmm.
And if you stay down. And that is when I knew, thank goodness, I was like, oh, there's something wrong. I'm really, really sad. I'm really, really displaced. I'm feeling really dislocated from a lot of roles that have helped me be healthy and help empower myself. Now, what do I do? And so graduate school was a very difficult time for me. I could not stay that first summer to do my classes. I left. I went back home. It was like a reset button. I came back to do my second year, but it was so incredibly difficult, Kate, that I did not walk. I had my courses, I did everything, and I booked my ticket, and I was like, I'm gone. I'm not going to take the time to walk. I need to take care of myself. And that meant you've got to get out of New York, unfortunately, but also ultimately, I needed to start working on me. I got the knowledge and the information I needed, and I was ready to rock and roll.
And that, and what, like, a feeling of, you know, and it's hard, you know, when you have to, it sounds like at that summer, you knew that you had to go back and you were going to do it. Like, I know this is my path. I know I have to do this really hard thing for a year, but like, that ticket is waiting for me at the end. Like, I know if I get through that, then I'm good. You know, I'm just going to go. Yes. That's hard to work through.
To make that goal at the end and just know, but it is just like you said, it is hard to work through that. But if I had to say, hey, tool in your basket is knowing that things are temporary or that they can be temporary, and asking yourself, how can I empower myself to know that this is temporary, to yes. understand and believe that this is temporary, this too shall pass, right? This is transitional.
Yes. Yes. Holding that ticket. Like, I have this thing that hangs in front of my desk.
Ticket.
The golden ticket. Yes. Oh my gosh. Well, that's incredibly, that speaks volumes of how dedicated and how much this field means to you, to, you know, that you were like, nope, I know I got to do this. I'm not even physically in the right place. I'm sitting in this hot water, but like, mm-hmm. I've got to do this. That's awesome.
It was a definite experience from which I have grown.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. And that doesn't even talk about identity, being a Latina at NYU and in New York. Oh my goodness. So lots of layers, but I made it out.
Yes. Yes. And then it, like, now you have that time. Did you go to, after there, did you come right back to Houston? Was that where you kind of came and then grew?
Yes. As soon as I knew the day of the grades, I asked my professors, I said, what days for sure do I need to be up here to make sure the grades are in? And when that was it, my ticket was for the next day. I packed up everything I could and I left. I needed to take care of myself. I needed time. I had way too much stuff booked. Even when I got back to Houston, I was getting married in 2 weeks.
Oh man. Stressful.
Starting the job. Because I had, you know, advertised up there. I was like, hey, drama therapist coming to Houston, ready to offer new stuff. So I was coming right into residential treatment with adolescents and with eating disorders. I mean, it was a whirlwind adventure from which I have definitely grown from. But it was incredibly, incredibly difficult. It took me the better part of that year coming back just to be able to feel like, oh, this is me again, right? My roles that were sort of isolated or displaced or dislocated, I've worked with them and processed this enough that now I feel like me again.
Yes. Yes. How powerful. And I would think that you can draw so much on from that, your own personal experience of that, of, you know, that empowerment, rewriting your own narrative, finding those roles. And can you, for listeners who don't know that much about narrative roles, can you dive into that a little bit, of the power of those things and what that looks like and what you do and how that can affect mental health? Any way you want to go. Anyway.
Yes. Anyway, I love the screen.
All of, yes.
So how I describe narrative and roles to clients in a group with me, right, is it's like this. If you could just imagine a day in your life that at any point in your day, you are playing a role. You're playing one of three roles usually. You're either playing a role that you've chosen of your own accord, that you have acknowledged that you've chosen to be this. You could be playing a role that somebody else has told you you should be, that they've placed this on you, right, for whatever reason. Or you're playing the role that doesn't know what it's doing, right, or doesn't know who it is. The I am lost role, right, or the I don't know who I am role, or the this isn't me role, right? And nobody told me I should be this, but, and I didn't choose this, but this is who I am. This is what's happening. Who am I, right? And I really feel like there's a, if we perceive of our life in that way, then it becomes really interesting when we think about what's our story, what's our narrative of, well, which role is it that is struggling right now? Or which role am I stuck in, right? When we think of, if I come home as a drama therapist, right? Now at work, I'm a drama therapist, but if I come home and I'm still a drama therapist to my child or to my partner, then I'm stuck in a role, right? I'm stuck in a role, and I need to be able to have the flexibility to move into being a mother to my child, right? That happens to also have a drama therapist in the background. That's certainly a layer. I don't lose that layer, but something needs to come into the foreground that's appropriate for that environment. And so a lot of us get stuck. We get stuck in a narrative which involves certain roles that need to be upfront for that narrative, but our narrative changes throughout the day. And if we're stuck in one story, it can cause a lot of problems.
So much. Oh, I love that explanation. I feel like I can feel that of getting stuck in some type of role. And it's just, you know, when it doesn't fit, when it's like, this isn't, whether I'm doing the wrong role for where I'm supposed to be, or I don't know, I'm in that lost role of like, well, who am I doing right now? Or like, why can't I find what I'm doing? You know, it plays so much into your, into self-esteem, into everything.
Yes. So this is where we really get into that, like that empowered piece, right? So let's say that I'm stuck in a role, quote unquote, and I come home as that, like the drama therapist, and my child, she's only 6 months now, but let's say she could talk as a 6 month old. Like, mom, I don't understand. You're analyzing me and you're telling me I should do this instead of just being my mom, right?
Yeah.
And I say, oh my gosh, let me take a breath. I feel that role. I feel where it is in my body. And I often, right, even right now, I feel it in my upper back. I feel it in my arms. I feel it across my chest. And then it sort of has this energy that lifts up into the head and down to the body, but it's really across my upper body right here.
Yeah.
And I say, you know what? Let me just breathe that in and let me just exhale that role to the back and let me find where mom is. Let me empower the mom role to come forward. Oh, there she is. Okay. So I'm feeling her now. She's really much lower in my gut. Uh-huh. And bringing her forward and being able to just inhale and embody that role. It's softer. There she is. So mom's softer. Even just now, actually. So I just sat back a little.
I was going to, I could see it because before when you were speaking, it was like you, and it's funny doing this through Zoom because you took up more of the screen and then it was like, mom's here. And it was like, oh, mom, you know, like just snuggle right up with mom. You know, it was such a difference.
Yes. Right. And so that's like the basic of like what needs to be empowered that's already within you. Right. I'm not a magic person. I don't have magic at my fingertips. Boy, wouldn't that be nice. But I do have a certain skill set that is inviting people to just dive into what they already have and be able to empower themselves to bring it forward so that they really can live their best life. Not my best life for them, their best life.
Yes. Now, do people get stuck in, I'm really curious, with some of those roles, like say the drama therapist role, and you know, we're stuck in our work mode role, and is there ever trouble finding where is mom, where is, you know, partner or sibling, whatever it is they're looking for? And do you ever have it with clients, or, you know, where it's one of those roles is stuck or they can't find it, or what does it look like? I don't know. It's murky. What does that look like?
All the time, right? That's what a lot of people are coming into therapy for, is something's dysfunctional right now, right? I was doing okay. I was doing well. And then it just all of a sudden fell apart, right? Or fill in the blank. This isn't working anymore. So I think a lot of what I see, right, and I'll speak from my own perspective, is that we have a tool that works for us short term, right? Something happens and we have this tool that, even like the manipulator, this is a role that's popped up a lot this week in and out of my practice. And the manipulator pops up to protect you. There's something that happened and the manipulator popped up, that role popped up in you to safeguard something for you, because that's your body, your brain, your spirit, heart. That's its job, is to protect you first and foremost. And that can look like a lot of things. So if I look at this role of the manipulator without judgment, there's no judgment here, right? And the manipulator gets a bad rap. It's like, oh, you were going to hurt people. You don't care about other people. Exactly, right? It gets a bad rap. So if I just say, you know what? I'm noticing that there's a manipulative role, a part of me that is like, I need to manipulate the situation. Well, why, you know, why is that popping up? The drama therapist might ask, or why is that role popping up right now? Now, and we wouldn't usually talk about it. We would play with it, right? We would do something about it. We would do a scene rehearsal. But in a nutshell, what's happening is we're playing with this role and we're figuring out, you know what, the manipulator feels threatened and feels like this is what needs to happen so that that threat does not come to fruition, right? That it's that, that no danger actually happens. It's like threat response is activated. Manipulator needs to come through to move the pieces. And once we're done, I can step back, right?
Yes.
So that can be wonderful short term if it protects you, if it keeps you okay, right? Especially if other people don't get hurt, right? If all of those things, if all those pieces align, then the manipulator role really ain't so bad. You're not getting hurt. Nobody else is getting hurt. Now, here's when it starts to get in trouble. Is when the manipulator stays longer than it should. And it starts to use that one tool for more problems or issues or concerns. And it's like the only tool you have, the only tool in your shed to use is manipulation, manipulation, manipulation in every environment, in every situation. It's this tool on overdrive. That's where drama therapist steps in and is like, hey, I noticed that you're using that. That is that what's making your life dysfunctional right now? Can we play with that? And we see, right? When we play with it, we shake up the layers of, oh, that's why you're here, manipulator. Oh, you were good in this situation, but this is why you're not good in this situation, right? And that can look like so many different things. It's a lot of empowering for me, at least when I'm doing work with clients, is looking at it from a very mindful being what's present, right? What's presently happening, not past or future tripping. I use that a lot. Like, don't future trip right now, come back to the present. Don't past trip right now, come back to the present. We can trip present. You trip into the present. That's okay. Let's do that. We can do that.
Yes, we're here for it.
But also without judgment, like no judgment. I want to be able to see the parts of you that you feel are ugly, that you feel ashamed about. Can we bring that forward? Because you know what? I genuinely believe that they popped up to protect you at some point. And it sounds like they've just outstayed their welcome, or they just really felt like they were needed in more environments. And let's help empower that role to go back to being where it belongs, where it can be helpful in this space. And let's let other roles pop up and other tools pop up so that they can, you know, you can be more flexible, more what we call psychologically flexible, right? Overall in your life. That's an empowered life.
Yes. That is so powerful. The piece of not only I feel like that step away, it's called something, I can't remember what it's called, but when you can step away from that role and be like, oh, manipulator is coming up front. And it like gives you that safe distance to like, okay, let's talk about manipulator that keeps coming out, which is so much safer to talk about than like, why am I being manipulative? Why am I being this thing? When it's like, oh, it's just a part. I can step away from that and
yes,
have fresh eyes and look at it from the outside and without judgment. I love that so much of like, we all have those roles of whatever it is that comes out for safety, most of the time, fear, whatever, to come out and help us. And it just is that sounds so incredibly powerful to be able to take that step back and then embody it. Sounds just fun. Uh-huh. But I mean,
Yeah. So, I mean, you're talking about, we're talking about externalizing, we're talking about concretizing in certain, right, depending on what's going to happen. We're talking about distancing, right? A lot of times we're really close and up front with it. And we're under distance, right, which is the term that like a drama therapist might use, is we're under distance, we're too emotionally close to it. Or we're over distance, we're like super logical, stuck up in the head, can't touch the emotion on it. And what we're looking for is an aesthetic distance. We want that balance in between. So again, I'm gonna say it a million times, I'm empowering you to come back to like find your balance, whatever that means for you. Not my definition of balance for you, but yours. Let's find that. Let's do it.
It's so different for everybody too. Everybody's looks different.
Oh my goodness. Yes. Which keeps my job so fun. Right. And I don't mean that as in like, you know, let me take your pain and let me have fun with it way, but let me take your very human experience. Right. Mm-hmm. And look at it without judgment and realize that there is something that is totally unique, that nowhere in this world is it happening exactly the way that it's happening for you. Even if there are parallel experiences, you have a unique world that has been designed really to protect you. Let's figure out what's happening here by playing with it.
I love this idea so much as an adult, like thinking about sitting with this as an adult, playing with those different things, especially being yes, playful is so, I could do that all day. I would have too much fun of like doing that all day, but like, it's the same thing. I feel like it's so much play therapy is the same. Kids naturally do that. They're already like, hey, adults, I'm way ahead of you. I'm playing all these things out. And it's like, it's so cool how that can transition into adults of like, let's play with those things. Like they're scary, but you can play with it. And so much can come from that.
Absolutely. And oh my goodness. So it's funny because you say this and I'm thinking the number one thing in my house, people walk by and this open. They see the tub with the stuffed animals and the pillows and they go, oh, you work with children? What do you do? And I don't work with children. I work with adults. I work with adults. Yes. Occasionally I will work with an adolescent, but I do not work with children. And that's a choice, right? A personal choice of mine right now. Yeah. I may in the future, but I don't right now. Yeah. And I work with adults and I invite them to get in the tub and they feel it. I know they're looking, I'm like, pop on it, like play that feeling, play with that. Right? It feels safe. If it feels right, let's play with it and let's just see what happens. Yeah. So many layers.
Much. Yes. So many layers.
Built up between being a child and becoming an adult. And that happens at really, right? We have this like 18, you become an adult, but life experiences can adultify, quote unquote, right? A person a lot earlier than 18. And maybe even later than 18. Right. And so everyone's experience is just so unique and just, it really is just an honor to be able to be a drama therapist and work with people and their unique story. Like, let me just be here for a blip, you know, and I won't know how the story continues on or ends after this usually, but man, what an honor it is to be there for the moment that you need a little guidance or support or you reached out for. And I can say, yes, yes, let me be here. Let me be here with you at this difficult time.
For this chapter, let's do this together. Yes.
Yes. Co-creation. Let's do this together.
Co-create. Ooh, writing that down for a possible title. Well, tell us more about your practice. So you work with mostly adults, but your practice now has also expanded. Tell us a little bit about that. It's so exciting.
So it was a private practice for the better part of a year and a half. This year, so 2020, this year, I was like, I really want there to be other modalities in here, right? I started Houston Creative Arts Therapy because I wanted people to be able to know what drama therapy was, but really to know how to creatively work through their stuff, right? You don't just have to sit down and try to analyze and talk about it and rehash things. We really can laugh and cry together in a session. And you really can leave at the end feeling like, wow, this was good work. I feel lighter. And you know, and it's okay to do that kind of work. It doesn't have to be. A lot of people are like, therapy is so serious. And I go, not with me, it's not.
Nope. I play ridiculous things all day long. I feel like it's like, if somebody looking in would be like, you're doing therapy. Yes. I'd be like, no, really, it really works. No, I know I'm really talking really about like pooping on the toilet right now with a kid, but it's you know, it's whatever. It really works.
There are layers here.
Yes. Yes. So many.
So this year I was like, I really want to branch out. I really wanted a dance movement therapist because, and I guess I haven't spoken about this, I come from a dance background as well, right? Musical theater, you're a triple threat. I come from a Latin family in which, not that all Latin families are this way, but mine certainly was, dancing was a huge part of growing up. Every party we had there was dancing. The adults were dancing, the kids were dancing. It's a huge just part of my facet. And so I really wanted a dance movement therapist in here, and they're incredibly difficult to find.
They are. Wherever you are, come out of the woodwork. Please come. I would like to interview you. I could never
call. So I did end up finding one, but because of the way that licensing and board certifications work and what you can call yourself and how you can work, it's been a struggle figuring out how that piece can be effective. How can we reach the community so that they know this is here? And also how can we, you know, get the dance movement therapist to share that gift when they're trying to move throughout the system themselves? Yes. And so I did find an art therapist also. So we have an art therapist here.
Yay.
And yes, she is working and she has done really wonderfully. She's got like this really chill, kind of cool vibe. She's very like artsy in a cool way. And so I love it. She definitely has her style. It's a beautiful thing. And so we've been able to make it work here in the office because we're really just one office. And I think a lot of people don't know that when they contact us. They're like, you're going to be like a building, an organization. There's going to be lots of rooms. We are one big office. So we're never in here at the same time, but you know, we're sharing the space. So the art materials are in one space and everything sort of has its own boxed over area in which it's closed off. But everything has its sort of, the phrase I'm looking for is a place for everything and everything in its place.
Yes. So what has your, what has having your team grow to incorporate other modalities, what has that brought to either you personally as a therapist or you guys as a collaborative? What has that blossomed into?
So I wish I could say that it was more. I noticed that there's this like, this that's like, oh, I wish we were further, but like coronavirus happened.
I know. 2020, come on.
Yes. So we were just getting up. So in January, I made the post. By February, I had some people who'd reached out and we did interviews. And so we solidified it by like mid to end of February with both of them. And then March hit and it was like, dun, dun, dun. So it's been interesting to see how, you know, you make sessions work online. Mm-hmm. And talking about how do we make art therapy work online, you know, and you set up two cameras so that you can see one is their art and the other one is them as an individual with their face. Yeah. Right. And how cool is that? Because it's almost like there, as close as we can get at this point until we have virtual reality, which, oh my gosh, I can't wait to have an episode on that.
I'm going to get so much vertigo. Oh man.
Yes. But so I'm excited for more to come after we figure this, you know, after we figure COVID out to the degree of what does this new world look like in which we can expect, right, from at least from what I've seen, that it might come back in the fall, from what history told us that these things come back in the fall. And I couldn't go into why that happens, but how do we prepare now for that? How do we still reach people who need our services, who need therapy, who need, you know, their mental health and wellness taken care of, and are going to benefit from it in a creative way? How do we continue to reach those people and also take care of ourselves? It's very real that, you know, I can't, my brain and eyes physically cannot handle the being on the computer all day anymore. I've had to, you know, really put boundaries around that. And again, self-care. But so really just maneuvering this new landscape. And how is that going to sort of settle? And how do we empower ourselves to do that, right? So that's where that has headed. And instead of going more toward what does that look like, because we were also going to add like a massage therapist so that people could have like a holistic wellness experience, and yeah, and a yoga therapist so that we had like body and spirit and like all this good stuff. But of course COVID happened, and so none of that happened. Yeah. It's like,
yeah. That's perfect. Yes. So, put a huge pause on all of that.
Yes, a huge
life pause. Is on pause, it feels like.
And I've sort of maneuvered, and I guess, right, because I'm going back to my like private practice-y sort of ways, we've maneuvered into online courses. We have a courses tab now where we're trying to put up videos and empowerment courses, one of which is up right now, Empowered to Empowered. It's a free course. We're getting feedback on it now, so if you go, it's free. Just give us feedback on it. We want to make it better.
Yes, I love that.
Oh, I'm really excited about it, but it is going to take some time because video editing is a thing. It's
the worst. We were just talking. Yes. Those little tiny life hacks that you can find with that are like amazing.
Yes. But we want to be able to empower people who are maybe not ready for therapy yet, but want to do some empowering things for themselves. So to be like, go take a wellness course, just go under the courses tab and just, you know, sign up for a course. Some of which are going to be free, some of which are going to be paid for, but all of which can be beneficial. Right. And then we're branching into the podcast territory ourselves. Whoop, whoop.
Yeah. We need more. So many more Creative Arts podcasts that needs to happen.
Yes. So we're branching into that and really being able to flesh out what I'm really passionate about also on the side with our communities is identity and power and how we can play with that, right? When we're triggered, how do we play with that? And with what often happens is that the binary pops up, right? Those polarized things of this is how I have to be and this can't be this way. And so now I'm struggling because I only have two options of how I can feel right now. And then I'm just like, take a breath. Wait a minute. There's a whole continuum in there we can play with. So much more. So that's where we're branching out to now.
Awesome.
As a way to empower ourselves and our community in COVID. And after this, right? COVID is not forever.
Yes. I think it's like it's changed our reality and things won't be the same. We're going to have all these other new things, but do you think with your, with the podcast and the courses, was that originally in your vision or did that kind of, was that the, you know, necessity breeds creativity kind of thing where it was like, okay, new ideas. How did those ideas kind of come about?
They were in the plan, but they weren't supposed to be in the courses. I was like 2021. We can wait on the courses. We'll just keep building up the practice with the creative arts therapists, right? The other creative arts therapists. I really wanted to just take my time to invest in them, to help them build their practices here. Right, with COVID, that was, I like can't do anything else with that right now. At least I haven't taken the opportunity to really explore ways to empower that beyond any more than they have also said, you know, they're dealing with other stuff too. So again, like pause, like you said. And so I was like, well, how do I keep growing and meeting the community's needs here and afar? And I was like, you know what? It's time. We've got to move the courses up. We've got to move the podcast up. Let's keep doing what we do and figure out how do we empower ourselves to yes, move forward in the business. And also I'll be very honest, right? How do I also empower myself to self-care?
Yes. So with all of this change, especially we're thrown into, there was a great article, Kathy Malchiotti, I think wrote it, about mental health workers, creative arts therapists being the canaries in the coal mine. And, you know, we're diving in, we're into this stuff, we're in the nitty gritty, but then that self-care piece is so important. Has that changed for you with telehealth, with navigating this crisis? Has your self-care strategies, have they morphed throughout that?
They've had to, definitely, right? And when I say that, like creativity is like the key, right? Is when you're a creative person, and I would say that all people are creative people, right? It's just, it expresses itself differently. But I'll speak for myself since we're talking about self-care, my self-care. is that it had to change. So I went from having a pretty flexible schedule where I see people in person and would drive to different sites because I'm contracted with different treatment centers and hospitals. And to all of a sudden, all my groups are online. There's no more traveling, right? Which means you're seeing, like your setting has changed, right? You're seeing less throughout the day. You're experiencing less throughout the day. The fact that now you're not going into environments where there are lots of people, which now means there's an isolative piece. Totally, right? It's there. It's a natural part of the environment of, hey, we're all sheltering in place or whatever the language is, wherever you are, right? But it's required a shift in that now I'm having to do so much more online to meet the needs of the community and the needs of the business to continue to grow to meet the community's needs, that I have headaches. I have eye strain, and really being able to be like, okay, so what needs to happen at 5 p.m. now? My contacts need to come out. I've got to put the glasses on. in the middle of the day, instead of taking half an hour and working through lunch, I take an hour and I do it outside. Yes, I look in the distance. All right, I'm giving my eyes the ability to be outside to look at nature, and it is super hot here in Houston. I'm not gonna lie. Water bottle, squirt it up every now and then, and it just falls on you like a mist. Right? Yes. let's be creative. Let's keep empowering ourselves to like live our best life. But it has really been a necessity to be able to find those moments. Pulling out a baby pool. Getting out and just fill it up with water outside and just sit in the pool with the baby. That's really nice.
Yes.
So just cute. These moments of self-care where now it's not, you know, what videos can I watch online or how can I educate myself, but how can I step away and still get my hiking on when the parks have been closed? And now some of that stuff is opening up this week, but in a lot of places it's still not. And And there's a lot of questions too, right? If we're being honest about how safe is it? Because everyone's doing exactly the best that they can. And our government is doing quote unquote the best they can. And that, what is that, right? There is no absolute here. There is no book that's just written. We're all trying to figure it out as we go.
Yes.
So
I feel like that has been a theme of this whole since March is the and I'm thankful for music, the Frozen 2 soundtrack and the Frozen 2 Into the Unknown. I was like, oh my God, this was meant to be. It's the perfect, it's so good. Oh, I love that. Like roles. I have so many kids that are like, I am an Elsa and I am an Anna. And like they are very much that they take on those roles. But it's so great. That song has been so helpful during this time for the unknown. Is that something that comes up that has been coming up with a lot of your groups and a lot of the clients that you're working with?
Oh my goodness. First, I want to take that little piece of that Into the Unknown. I'm going to have to look into this soundtrack. Got my Disney Plus on, so I can check it out.
Yes, and it's so empowering. It's like, oh man, like talk about her role at the beginning and how it changes at the end of just one song. We're gonna have to re-talk about it.
I was about to say, even this, we're talking about media and being able to write self-care and empower yourself with your media. I have gone from, I used to watch a lot of like horror movies and intense shows and whatnot. And now that I'm at home more often and I'm isolating more, right? I'm like, no, Disney is my go-to. I'm popping on Disney more often. I'm watching fun shows. I'm watching lighter things. Like that's being intentional about your empowerment and your media.
Yes. I literally had, it took a really long time for my husband and I for him to kind of understand or us to kind of get that flow, because I would come home and I'm like, I just want to throw on 30 Rock, Parks and Rec, or Friends. Like I just need something on that's just like light. Background, it's not heavy, and I couldn't even handle, like, and I still can't, especially now. I'm like, I can save it for the weekend, like a new show or like The Handmaid's Tale, you know, something really intense where I'm like, let's get into it. But like during the week with that stuff, it is part of my self-care of like, I need something light, expected, safe, like just something light to put on in the background. It's so helpful. So helpful.
Yes. Okay, now there was a question in there that you asked me.
I don't even remember.
Solid. Okay, we're going to agree.
Oh, the unknown, because we're talking about Into the Unknown. If that's been a big theme that's come up, because we're so surrounded. I don't know if we've ever been surrounded by more unknown in the environment. And how does that come up in drama therapy? What does that look like?
Sure. it looks like whatever's present with the client, right? So I've got, when we think about the metaphor that we're in any session, and how powerful it can be to play with the metaphor of what's happening. So instead of me saying, you know, I don't need to say, okay, we've got coronavirus here. It's all around us. And how is that making you feel? And what are the care? I don't need to say that because it's already here. What I want to say is what's happening for you? And when I hear something like, you know, it feels like there's a weight on me. Oh my goodness. Right. And then I'm all of a sudden like, there is a weight here. Okay. What are we doing with this? What are we doing with this weight? And if they look like they're like, oh, wait a minute, that's too much. I'm like, oh wait, is that too much? Can we not play with this right now? And I come out of it, right? My body may be holding the pose, but my voice has come out. I'm not playing anymore. Now I'm asking you, is this playable? Yes. Yes, right. And we're playing with distancing here. We're playing with it. And a lot of them will be like, you know, no, actually, this is good. Can I watch you do it first? Okay, wait, but when are you going to join me? Right. And then we're co-creating this world that we're playing with the stuff that's already here. It's already difficult, right? So we've got lots of metaphors. It's like the air is dangerous now, right? Like we're going out is toxic. I feel like I'm in a quote unquote, like a, oh my gosh, what's the word I'm looking for? Like a post-apocalyptic world. Like things have actually already, like dystopia. Things aren't real. We've got a lot of depersonalization or derealization happening, right? Am I real? Is this really happening? And a lot of that is the isolation piece. We're human beings. We really need connection. No matter if we're introverts, extroverts, however we identify, we need human connection of a certain type, right? To really make sure that we're grounded, that we're real, things around us are real, that this really is happening, and that more things will really happen in the future. So yes, the unknown is a huge piece right now, and we're playing with it. what's a lot of it is okay, so what's real now? What do you know? What is known? You know, yeah, we know that we can't know what's in the unknown. So what's known?
Yeah, there is so much to draw from that abundance. Maybe that was that might have been off air that you had mentioned before, but playing with the abundance rather than yes. fear, the abundance fear thought.
Versus abundance-based thinking. And yes, I'm right. Empowerment is, for me at least, is definitely coming from that abundance-based thinking of there is enough here, there is enough that I can get if it feels like it's not here, but there is a way to be okay here. I know that it's here. I've just got to find it. And so, yes. Yep, playing with that abundance, we have enough, we can play with this. We're not going to be, what's the sort of the word that I'm looking for here? If we play with this, we're not going to be less than because we played with it. For a lot of people, there's a fear of playing with something because it's like, then what? Then I'll know, then it'll be more real. No, we're not going to feel smaller. We're actually going to feel bigger. Because now we've shone a light on it and we realize, oh, it doesn't have as many shadows. Oh, it looked so big before, Nina. But you know what? Now that we've played with it, it really isn't that dark or that, you know, that heavy or that, or now it's lighter because we've processed it or whatever the case is. Because again, everyone's journey is so different. But yes, let's play with it. Let's process it. Let's get through it. Because, this is another thing I believe is that like the only way out is through. You can keep going around things. You can put it under the carpet if you want. Here are the metaphors. You can put it under the carpet. You can push it in the closet. You can keep it in the attic. You can shove it in the basement. But you know what? It's still going to be there, boo. So can we play with it? Can we move through it?
Because it's going to start knocking at some point.
Knock. You're going to trip over it. It's going to come falling out. I mean, it's like, let's play with it so that we're empowering you in this environment to realize, you know, it's just this. It's not bigger than it is.
Yes. And I love that. And this is actually part of your tagline for your business of empower yourself to find balance. Yes. That is like, can you speak on that as your, it's like your, I can feel the passion coming from that empowerment, balance, your identity. Can you speak on that and how that importance for your business and for your clients, most of all, of course.
Absolutely. So I am very much about, like the line says, empowering you to find balance. Balance, of course, means something different to everyone. Empowering should be a lifting up, right? That it's a lifting up, that it's more awareness usually, right? That there's more intentionality, that's what's empowering. And so we have this... Now we have this, right? But it's all come from my journey as a human being and my struggle growing up. A little about me in a nutshell is, so I identify as Latina. I'm from Puerto Rican descent. I was born in New York, right? My family's from Puerto Rico. And the struggle that it is growing up when you are light-skinned, because I am light-skinned Latina, and we span the color in Hispanic identity, and especially in Puerto Rico, lots of different color. My grandfather is as dark as they come, very dark skinned. And a lot of that comes from what people don't realize is the history of Puerto Rico is that, right, we've got the Spanish who came, the Taino native people were there, and the Africans were brought over as slaves, and it all mixed up. And so in my background is all of that, like all that history. And my history is not necessarily my story, but it is a part of my story, right? And I think that's an important thing that I tell people too, is your history is not your story. That's us past tripping. Now it is a part of your story and it can be a beautiful part of your story. So how do we utilize those facets to empower you in the present to move forward, right? So I grew up with, yes, feeling very Puerto Rican in my family, but then realizing when I would go out into school or other environments, I didn't speak Spanish. So I did not fit in with the Spanish kids. And I was clearly Latina. So I was not light-skinned or quote unquote white enough to fit in with the Caucasian students. And so there was a genuine struggle that I had growing up of feeling like this displaced sort of token person of, yeah, sometimes I was a token Latina, but also sometimes I was whitewashed. And that those were identities that were pushed on me by the different groups because they're trying to categorize me, right? How does she fit in? What boxes does she check? How do I relate to her? And this happened. I mean, this has happened even to today. Every year I was bullied every year I had to figure out how do I identify with myself and with the people around me in a way that still makes me feel okay, doesn't make me feel like lesser than. I remember walking away from a group of Hispanic girls once. They were calling me terrible names, and I walking down, just chin held high, but tears streaming down my face, walking down the hallway in middle school. And so even right there, we have this image, right, of intense sadness and intense strength, and the balance that that takes to be able to sit with that and keep going. And that's hard. That's hard. And so as you continue to grow and you get older, right, and I'll keep executing you, but it's my story, right, that as I continued to grow and get older, I learned different ways to speak to different people to let them know that the way that they were treating me or the things that they were saying to me wasn't okay, that that's not how I saw myself, and that maybe they should be curious about why they felt that way. And mindfulness was a big part of that. I developed this mindful warrior mantra, which is now something I use with other people, but I use it for myself. And it was like on the basis, hopefully I don't mess this up because I've used it as my mantra. It's like, become aware of how you feel, become aware of what you do. If you invest in other people, then it will come back to you. Awareness is the tool and compassion is the solution. If you're acting with intent, that's the mindful revolution.
I can't even say anything. That's so powerful. That's amazing.
So that's how it made me feel, was powerful, right? And not over anyone else, not under anyone. It just made me feel in my own body, the embodied sense of this is what empowerment is let me be aware of what's happening with me because I can't change anybody else. Let me be aware of how intentional I'm being because I can't make anybody else do anything to treat, right? People are going to treat me how they're going to treat me. They're going to see me how they're going to see me. And at the end of the day, I want to go home knowing that I loved myself and that I was beautiful as the person I am. And that, right, that maybe with a little more awareness and intentionality that maybe they would also treat me the way that I hoped that I was treating them as their own beautiful individual, that yes, we can be different and can we celebrate those differences as opposed to saying you don't fit, right? Oh man, there's such a displacement with that.
Yes. And your ability to bring so much empathy and lack of judgment in like that mantra, I feel like just embodies so much of there's no judgment that you're placing on somebody else for what they're saying. And it leaves so much room for them to also be empowered, for that thought to come back of like, why am I feeling this way? Or why am I saying this thing? What's happening to me that I feel like I have to say this to somebody else? Or,
yes.
And that is incredible because I don't think that happens all the time. You know, that's not the standard, you know, I think there's a big struggle with that. There's whatever yes. is happening with somebody else, that digging deep and finding that empathy.
Absolutely. I mean, and this is a huge piece in for those of us who are doing identity work or working with it, that this question of to what degree do we put the weight on the person who might be a minority, right? To be able to empower others. Like to what degree do we put that on them to do that, right? To do that work. And far be it from me to tell anybody in their own journey, you know, what weight they should or should not have. But for me, I am more empowered at the end of my day because I have empowered you to think about what you just said to me. And I didn't judge you for it. And I have had slanderous remarks and I've had racist remarks and I've had ethnocentric remarks. And I just said, that's so curious, you know, without judgment, that's so curious that you just said that to me. I almost felt like I wanted to get smaller, but I actually don't feel that way about myself. Right. And just without judgment and the responses and how different they change, right? How much it changes a person to be like, oh shit, I just stepped in it. Oh, sorry. You may have to beep that out.
No, it's always explicit. So I always, you never know what we get into. I love it.
But it's, I usually say, oh, snap, crackle, pop. I just stepped into that. Right.
I always have those like ism things that I say, like, I don't, holy cannoli, working with kids. I can, you know, I can never let yes. it slip. So I'm like, holy yes. moly, guacamole. And yeah. But yeah, no, we can swear, we dig into trauma. So it's always, you know, oh, I always mark everything as just in case we go there. So feel free.
Okay. So yes, that moment when somebody's like, oh snap, you know, I may have just stepped into this, but it doesn't look like she's attacking me. So can I take that invitation that she just gave me for this to be a teachable moment? Can I take that empowerment that she's just offered me to be like, just see this differently? Like, oh, you know, and sometimes I get remarks that are, you know, they're not ready to grow. They're not ready for that awareness. And that's okay. That's where they are in their journey, right? And unless they're a client coming in my office for that issue, I've got my life to live, and I can't spend it, you know, trying to worry about how other people see me. I've just got to do the best that I can do in my life and believe that that's enough, that that will ripple out and that people will be empowered and affected by that in a positive and beneficial way for them and for their community. I'm very much about individual doing what they need to for themselves so that they can affect their community. And then it's like, I want to see
ripple effect. Yes. Yes. And I think the strength that it takes to turn around and hold that space by, you know, like you said so eloquently before of, you know, I'm curious as to why you said that to somebody else who has potentially, you know, struck something so deep and hurtful. Mm-hmm. That strength is so, so huge, but it's not, you know, like I'm thinking of it as like raw, strong, but it's not like that. It's just like this, like grounded, strong, powerful tree, you know, of like, hey, I'm just going to be here and hold the space now, not, you know, over or anything. It's just like, hey, like that. It's just, that's such a beautiful response, seeing that.
Kate, you just put it into, so that is the image of, I imagine the tree. How can you be both rooted and reaching toward the sun? That balance that I imagine when I think of, right, like empowering myself to find balance is like, how can I be the tree that is present? It has roots that know, right, the knowing roots, and it's also reaching for more as it reaches up. And so, yes, when I'm in those moments, and I have had some real difficult moments with people, real difficult. Time for another episode on that one.
Yes.
But in the end, I really believe that if I can come with compassion, and if there's space for that, right? If I can come with compassion, if there's not space for that, I just take a breath and I acknowledge to myself, I don't have the energy to really hold this space right now. So I just need to take a breath for me and hold my own space right now.
Because we're all human. Can't always expect to be able to hold that.
Mm-hmm. So yes, balance, compassion, empowering other people with it. I'm all about that. It's my jam.
Love it. I could cry at how much this just was like, this whole conversation was just so beautiful. We touched on so many deep things that are so important to so many people in such a fun and exuberant way. We're going to have to keep talking for sure. And I feel like this podcast could go on for like 5 more hours, but for people who want to know more, they want to know more about what you're doing. If they want to know more about drama, art and dance, of what you're doing with your practice, where are some good places to find you, to reach out to you, chat with you, where would they go?
Yes. So you can go to Houston Creative Arts with an S therapy.com. And that's a good place to get all sorts of stuff on info on what we're doing in Houston in particular. There's a resources tab that is a little farther reaching. We've got the blog on there. There's the courses tab that we're working on. We're getting that up, right? So that's got some free stuff in there. You can learn about the other therapists there. If you're on Instagram, excuse me, HCAT Wellness is the actual HCAT. So there's a more general, broad information there. You can follow me. I'm a public figure. I'm out there at Drama Therapist Nina, and that's Nina, N-I-N-A. So those are some great ways to keep in touch. We're on Facebook, Houston Creative Arts Therapy, right? The courses school, if you see that pop up, it's Seek the Muse. I mean, there's a bunch of different spaces.
Podcast is coming out soon.
Podcast is coming. We're playing with titles for that. Is it going to be triggered or something else? I mean, I think it should be triggered, because even that just really encapsulates, this is what we're playing with. It's like, why are you tricking to play with that?
Yes. It's so, and I think it's such a big word right now. Like, it's such, that word has so much power right now in great ways and in other ways that are not so great. And like having somewhere where it's like, you know what? let's play with that here is a really cool space. I love that. Love
Thanks,
that.
Babe. I'm yes. excited. Yes.
Well, and what I'll do too is once you release it, I'll go back into this, the show notes of this episode. So there will be a link to it. So any listeners who are listening to this later, it will be in there when it comes out. Yay! I can't wait. I cannot wait. It's going to be so much fun. It's just, there's another episode that we could go into. Casting. Nina, this has been so much fun. And I am just so thankful that you've shared your passions, your energy. I'm just so thankful that you were able to come on today and share this with everybody. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me, Kate. I have had an incredible time. It's so nice, especially during COVID right now, to just be able to laugh and smile and just and connect. Yes. Talk about lovely, wonderful, passionate things.
Yes, that's what we do here. Yes, I love it. I love it. All right. I hope you guys enjoyed that episode. I hope you have a little extra pep in your step after talking with Nina. I know I sure did. Don't forget to head into the show notes and check out all of Nina's stuff, following her on Instagram, on Facebook. There's a really cool group on Facebook that she has. So go check out all the awesome stuff that she is doing. I wanted to give a shout out here to Carly. She sent the most amazing feedback and said that I could share it on the podcast. So I just wanted to share this. She said, "I love listening to your podcast. It gives me hope as a new graduate seeking employment as a pediatric therapist amidst the COVID-19 pandemic. When I'm taking breaks from job searching, I pull out my paints and play an episode of your podcast." Carly, thank you so much for your kind words, and we are all rooting for you and sending you the best of luck to get that job. You'll get there. Don't forget to check out the free guide that is also in the show notes. There is a link to that. And if you feel so inclined, you can always subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcasts. That really helps us become more visible to other listeners. Thank you guys so much. I hope you're all staying safe and healthy, and be creative.